For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nine 9:31 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now from WJZ-TV, our brother Rick Ritter. What's going on, Rick?
Guys, how we doing today?
Doing well, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
No doubt, man. Thank you for your time. Now, the Baltimore Ravens have a game against the Cleveland Browns, a bad Browns team. We pointed a couple of things out. They've yet to score more than 18 game points in the game, and they're just a bad football team all the way around. The city is a disconnect between the team and the city, the organization and the city. Could this be one of those letdown games for the Baltimore Ravens?
It absolutely can. And I think I would feel a lot better if Deshaun Watson was back there under center this week. But instead, it's Jameis Winston. And you get a group that knows that they have nothing to lose. They know everybody in the NFL is against them. They know their own fans are against them. Jameis can sling the rock, though, a little bit. And Nick Chubb is obviously back in his second game. He's going to be a little more comfortable back there. It's absolutely a trap game. David Njoku, kind of like the Ravens killer over the past couple of seasons. They have guys on offense that they can put long drives together and chew up clock if you are controlling the game with Nick Chubb. And then we spoke to Isaiah Likely this week, and the first thing that he said to me was, the Cleveland Browns defense jumps out at you on film. And the Browns got a good secondary. They got a good pass rush. It can absolutely be a trap game. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I do think this game is going to end up being closer than some people think.
One of the stats, just looking at the game this weekend, something stood out to me is the fact that the Ravens only have like seven takeaways this year. Well, was it five? They had 31 last year and led the league. I'm just surprised that they only have seven so far. They have five picks and two fumble recoveries. Does that say anything to you about the defense, or is this just the way it goes?
No, I think that's a great point to put out there. I mean, lacking big playability, if you will, on the defensive side of the ball. When you have all of these star players and a guy like Kyle Hamilton, who's been floated around as the jackknife of defenses in the league and one of the top-tier defensive players, Marlon Humphrey, who's a little banged up right now, but even a guy like Marcus Williams, who, Rob, you and I were talking about, who used to be a ball hawk and had that game-changing ability, it just seems to be lacking this year. You would hope with a star-studded secondary like they have with these big names out there that at some point they're going to turn it. And with the way that the defensive line, especially Kyle Van Noy and Owe, have been continuing to get pressure on the quarterback, and even though it may not register in the stat box always, you would hope at some point these guys are going to break through and they're going to flip those numbers. Because you're right, that was a huge part of last season and why they had a lot of success. And a guy who I think has dropped off a little bit this year, and I think it's only a matter of time before he turns it around. And this is a guy that this entire defense feeds off of, and that is Roquan Smith. So hopefully at some point these numbers start to flip, because there's too many big-name guys and too much big playmaking ability for it not to happen.
What do you think of Marlon Humphrey's play this year? Because obviously the turnovers have been there. It looks like he's been playing out of his mind. I mean, this secondary, we see them make big plays, and it's kind of mind-boggling at times when you're watching them going, why is it so poor? Why do they give up so many big plays?
Yeah, look, and Marlon's a guy I've been harder on than anybody over the past couple of years, and you can't make the team in the tub, and Marlon obviously on the team, but it feels like he's constantly in the tub and he's constantly dealing with something. And here we are another week. Is he going to go? Is he not going to go? He had a couple of great plays on Monday night. I'm not denying that. The one pick, though, I mean, Baker threw right to him in the back of the end zone. I mean, you couldn't tee that up any better. He's a guy that this defense runs off of as well, and I think that they have been in position more often than not in great position to make plays. And sometimes the margin of error is so small. I mean, you think back a couple of weeks ago, Brandon Stevens on the sideline with Terry McLaurin, and you know, that space between him making the play and Terry making that catch, that easily could have gone the other way. So I think that they're right there. They're so close. And again, it's only a matter of time, because most of the time they're in the right position, it seems like, unless it's a bust in coverage or a breakdown in communication.
Yeah. Here with Rick Ritter, WJZ TV, joining us right now. Rick, we talked about Jameis Winston being able to sling it. We also, you got Nick Chubb getting back into game form as well. But my thing is, there's nothing else really that concerns me on that Cleveland Browns offense. Amari Cooper gone. You know, it's really an offense that's absent of a lot of weapons.
Absolutely. And like I said at the beginning, here's the thing. If they start to chew up clock and Nick Chubb gets comfortable and they can kind of control the game and you can keep the Ravens offense off the field, that's what they're hoping to do. They're not trying to send Jameis out there and have him throw 40, 50 times. I think it's trying to get ahead early, trying to build a lead, and then you just chew off that clock and keep the Ravens off the field. And that's the type of game that they want to play. But how can you bet against the Ravens right now and the way that this offense is and the pick your poison and the fact that every guy in their position is doing their 111th, they are executing and winning, whether it's at the line of scrimmage, whether it's Zay or Rashad Bateman on the outside, Lamar, Derrick Henry, every guy is playing out of their mind on the offensive side of the ball right now. And here's something that this pisses me off so much. I hate when people say, oh, I've been telling you for years that Lamar Jackson, this is what he can do. This is what he can do. Look, let me tell you something. If you think that this is the same Lamar Jackson that came in the league 7 years ago, you do not know football. Yeah. You do not know football. Let me say that, okay? Yes, the athleticism has always been the same. Yes, him being able to sling the rock and having a cannon has always been the same. But him and the way that he has elevated his game this year with being able to recognize coverages at the line of scrimmage, not panicking, staying in the pocket, you have watched him elevate his game over the past couple of years specifically and taking it to another level. And kudos to him for that, because now – you have that athleticism that you've always had. You've always been able to sling the rock. Now he's at another level where nobody can even touch him right now, and that's exactly what you're seeing out there.
Rick, even though it's these endings, they're not going to show up as blown leads because they've won these games against the Dallas and against Tampa Bay. But the Ravens give up 21 points in the fourth quarter against the Buccaneers. Does any of that concern you, despite how well they're playing on offense?
100% it does. And I think Ed Reed spoke about it on Monday night when he was on the Manning cast. It's the truth. The culture and identity of a winning team, of a team who finishes, that's not it. And they're not there yet. I'm not saying they're not one of the better teams in football right now, but we all know that all of this and the MVP race and, you know, Derrick Henry winning an offensive player of the year, none of it means anything if they can't close games out when it matters most. And specifically talking about, you know, potentially meeting Kansas City in an AFC championship game at the end of the year. Good football teams, great football teams, close it out. You do not let teams hang around, and you stick your foot on their neck, and that's it. And I don't think that they're there right yet, so that's absolutely concerning. And it's not like it was a one-game thing. I mean, guys, we have seen this multiple games this season. Let's not forget that.
Hey, Rick, give me a score and your thoughts on this matchup, because, again, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, that I think this is closer than the so-called experts think, but I do think the Ravens win.
Yeah, I think that they're looking – I'm going to go 24-17. I think that, again, it's a lot closer than people think. I don't think the Ravens go out there and put up 30, 40 points. I think Cleveland has a better defense than people realize, and I think it's one of those typical AFC North, you know, physicality in the trenches, going at it with each other. So I'm going to go 24-17. I think they pull it out. I don't think that there's any way that they blow this. But again, it's going to be closer than some people realize.
Rick, what we got going on this weekend and early next week?
Purple pregame show. Tune in at 11:30 on Sunday. We got the game. You can always catch me with the news at 11 o'clock at night. And then we'll have the sports highlights as well. And then we're back with the Purple Connection show Monday night, which you'll be there for, Rob. And then we had Isaiah Likely at Jimmy's this past week. And Isaiah, just talking about the camaraderie with this team, how everybody has bigger aspirations than, you know, walking away with a couple of regular season awards, and that only one thing is on their mind, and that's getting to a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl. And I got a lot of respect for that.
Love to hear that. Thanks a lot, Rick. Have a good weekend, man.
Guys, have a great weekend. As always, thanks for having me.
Always, man.
Hey, man. Thanks, Rick.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.